All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And so we're very happy to be joined today by Callum Simpson, who is a worker at the University of Melbourne and a member of the branch committee for the National Tertiary Education. And we have Callum on today to have a bit of a kind of discussion about, you know, how the current sort of industrial action that's been led by NTU members at the Melbourne University of Melbourne is going. So good morning, Callum.
Good morning, Jacob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for coming on our program. To kind of start off, Callum, this strike that's happening right now, being led by the NTU at the University of Melbourne in the past week, it's actually been described as, you know, the biggest kind of strike that the University of Melbourne has ever had. And that's even taking into account the fact that, which you'll probably go into as well, the fact that not every sort of university department has gone on strike, necessarily. But this is actually still being described as a bit of a historical land moment, especially since that famous strike where I think workers walked off the site for the 8-hour day. And I guess, can you tell us, I guess, how this sort of past week has gone and like how has the strike sort of had an impact?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is an incredibly historic moment for our sector, and I'm hoping for the union movement. We've basically been saying that it's the most disruptive thing to happen on the University of Melbourne campus since 167 years ago, where the stonemasons down tools marched on Parliament and kicked off the 8-hour movement. So this is quite big. It's like a return to form, maybe. It also is one of the biggest actions that anyone in the National Tertiary Education Union has taken in the union's about 30-year history. So, yeah, it's really quite historic. And as you said, we actually haven't had every single work area on strike this week. The strategy this time has been essentially everyone went for a strike on Monday this week, and we took a big group of 850 workers to the Raymond Priestley admin building and, you know, had our stay right in front of the Vice Chancellor's office. But then the rest of the week has sort of been led by some groups down at the Faculty of Fine Arts and Music, student services workers like myself, libraries and scholarly services, law, and the arts faculty. And the whole thing was kind of led by the arts faculty, where they've been organizing a wage theft campaign for years, and they really pushed for a week-long strike, and others sort of followed. And, yeah, since then, we've kept up pickets at law, at student services. We tracked down the university executive's secret meeting, and we went and had our stay outside there. And then some workers had a almost 10-minute conversation with Vice Chancellor Duncan Maskell as he tried to leave the building out the back, and, you know, didn't quite get him on any commitments, but he was speaking publicly about the fact that they do want to decasualise eventually. So, yeah, it's been quite the exciting week so far.
Yeah, it sounds exciting, Callum. This is also Chloe on the call here. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Chloe.
Would you be able to tell our listeners and us maybe some of the issues impacting on university workers, which has actually been, you know, which has driven the strike, and also maybe talk about some of the your key demands of management?
Absolutely. There is, frankly, a litany of them. But one thing that we keep talking about is just how casual the workforce is. Like up to 70% of the University of Melbourne workers are casual or fixed-term contracts, so they are insecure work. And I myself, during the pandemic, experienced being let go at short notice. So I really know that, like, not having secure work, not having an ongoing contract is a big issue for workers in our sector, and it's growing all the time, so we really need to turn that around. In terms of what we have been demanding, about 2 years ago, the union branch spoke with as many of its members as possible, did a did a good survey and pulled it all together into a proposed enterprise bargaining agreement and 81 claims of what we wanted to see. However, we summarized that into 6 key claims, which were about 15% pay rise to get us above inflation, and 80% secure job target in the length of the agreement. Provisions for manageable workloads, restrictions on restructures, working from home rights, and better parental and carers leave. Now, so far, we've gotten most of the pay offer, and we've gotten some of the most of the parent and carers leave and some gender affirmation leave and stuff like that. But the vast majority of our key claims go unanswered. So basically, the university has said that they are willing to bargain again after our brief hiatus of the last couple of weeks. And so there's going to be 6 bargaining meetings of the next fortnight, and that will be their chance to show us that they're willing to move on our key claims. Otherwise, well, the vibe down at the picket is we'll come back and we'll do this again.
I want to ask the kind of next question, and I just also might just add one extra sort of question to it that I didn't, that just came to my mind, because I kind of heard it kind of mentioned by, Jeff Sparrow when he spoke at the Rising Tide meeting on Wednesday. But the first thing though is one delegate at the strike, told me that, you know, I want to kind of hear a bit more about this sort of 80% secure work target, because I think, the delegate kind of told me that I spoke to, you know, told me that, you know, very much this would fundamentally change how the university is run. And I guess I want to kind of hear some of your comments on that. And I guess the second kind of question, if you're able to sort of answer it, is, in terms of your kind of industrial action, what has been sort of the impact of some of the kind of anti-union laws on your strike? Because what Jeff Sparrow mentioned at the meeting in the context of, you know, trying to make a comparison between the right to strike and also the right to protest for climate is that there was one practical concrete case where I think Fair Work kind of restricted because I think there was the NTU of Melbourne University were kind of potentially pushing for a ban on marking or not marking, and that was sort of ruled out of order because it would be considered too disruptive. So I want to kind of hear your comment on those two sort of aspects.
Sure, absolutely. I might take the second first before I forget it. I'm pretty sure the case that Jeff Barrow is referring to there is this 2013 commission hearing between Monash University and the NTU. And now I don't have a full legal analysis, but what I understand to have happened is that the branch was striking during the assessment period, and this was having an impact on students. Now they had created something called an exemptions committee that allowed students who had particular needs, they really like needed to graduate or, you know, something to have issues with their visa or stuff like that, to make it through, basically to work their way through the blockade so that they wouldn't be extremely impacted. Now, the university, of course, refused to participate in this exemptions committee and then had the gall to go to the Fair Work Commission and use the Fair Work Act to say this is an undue impact on the welfare of our students. Those students testified, only a couple of counsellors. And just on the basic idea that maybe students might be feeling extra stress around exam time, the Fair Work Commission struck it down. Now, I haven't heard of a similar case using the same part of the Fair Work Act, but the fact that the Fair Work Act has such a provision and also has provisions for similar anti-union action in the case where the economy is impacted, well, it's frankly bullshit. And, the Fair Work Act is not worth the paper it's written on. So I think it's a testament to the union to have sort of defied all the bureaucratic steps you have to get through to get to the stage where we're at a week-long strike. But it's not been easy. And there's more stuff, like there's the particular restrictions on meetings and voting that is a burden on organisers. And I did speak briefly on the 80% work target, but yeah, I agree that it would, with that delegate, it would fundamentally change the university. I'm professional staff, and it would change my life. I now have an ongoing contract, but even a year ago I didn't, and it would have changed my life. But some people have been talking a lot about how it would really change how academia works. If you had tutors who had actually had a research allocation, so they weren't just doing their research in their own time, you'd actually improve the way in which studies are done and the kind of job security, and you'd keep the best academics at university. Instead, most young academics, even into their 40s and 50s, flit around from university to university, from contract to contract, often working just 6 months or 12 months at one place. And it impacts on them, but it also impacts on their teaching and their research. So I think if we had a university where secure work was the norm and flexible work was only used as an alternative where it was absolutely necessary, then that would be a better university, a better educator, a better researcher, and would be a really great example essentially to the rest of the country that you can achieve like flexible workplaces with secure contracts.
Yeah, and I think what you're sort of talking about there is actually, I think it's actually sort of like something, our program should actually explore a bit more in more detail. Because I think actually just, one thing I remember hearing, in terms of like this whole word of sort of restructuring, there has been in the past, and I'm not sure what particular university was, it might have been the Victoria University actually, but basically, universities' management's on this whole issue of secure work, but also this whole issue of research allocated to academics. Because from my understanding, one of the situations with a lot of academics is you have all these sort of casual sort of tutors, and you know they don't necessarily get much opportunities to do much research, and of course, One of the other issues is the university's managements have been trying to figure out a way of bypassing that. And I think one solution I remember being put forward, I don't think this was put forward for Melbourne University, but I think they are trying to think about restructuring university in a way where, okay, well, maybe instead of having academics, we just have positions for tutors where that's what they do. So we just create new teaching positions, and so in a sense you actually take the academia out of academia, and you basically just hire people on the basis of, okay, they'll just teach these tutorials and teach these sort of classes. And that's actually that's definitely something I think we have to kind of explore more detail what universities may be doing, because I definitely remember hearing an example of universities attempting to kind of push that kind of restructuring of work itself at their career. And it's all driven to make more profits for the university and management.
Yeah, and if I might add one little bit there, is that the University of Melbourne, having committed to doing some decasualisation, but not doing it with the union involved in the process, we've been hearing all kinds of horrible rumours about like what that might entail. And one idea that apparently was tabled was this, that essentially some faculties would move away from the lecturer-tutor model and only have seminars. And essentially this would, like, that would be their way of getting rid of casuals by just, like, removing the work, but it would absolutely ruin the pedagogical model. It would make the place really bad for teaching.
Thanks, Callum. With the casualization of the workforce in general, we've experienced an increase of anti-union laws, and you know, successive governments have made it more and more difficult for workers to strike, for workers to even meet, and you know, workers can feel pretty intimidated, particularly if they're precarious workers with less rights, like casual tutors. And there has been a weakening of the union movement, and less workers willing to take industrial action. So in the lead up to the industrial action, what can you tell us about some of the growth that's happening in the union that has occurred in the past year, especially in some of the key departments driving the strike? And also, you know, let us know about what inspiring lessons it can offer to unionists.
Absolutely. Speaking, I think, on behalf of Branch Committee, because we keep saying this to ourselves, we have been wonderfully surprised by just how much everything continues to grow. We're now over 2,500 members. We're now the largest branch in the NTU. It's still growing. There was hundreds of members just joined last week before the strike. I'd have more details, but it's been surprisingly big. And what's been nice is that I've actually noticed a little bit of growth this week. So we've had some people having the FOMO of the fear of missing out on things, and have joined the union halfway through the strike and gone, yeah, I want to come out. I want to be with my colleagues. And so that's actually happened a bit on the floor that I work in. And so honestly, and then there are a couple of people who joined halfway through to deliver yesterday this amazing speech about the importance of student services and the importance of that work. It brought tears to people's eyes. It was incredible. I think part of that, the big lesson there is that action breeds recruitment. Every time we've done something this year, whether it's been a half day, a full day strike, whether we've gone to open day and disrupted that, we've always seen more people get involved and more people join the union. So I think it suggests this kind of radical hope. You've got to keep pushing. You have to keep doing things. And the more you do, the more people will be inspired by that and join. It's going to be a lot of work to keep it going, but I really have a lot of hope for it. Other lessons, I think one thing, just the fact that we could, we can't be outsmarted by the bosses. Every time that they try to have a secret meeting or they try to use underhand tactics, we find out about it. We have deep roots across this campus. I think the union's really strong and has, although it's not a majority one, has deep roots on the campus. And using that to our advantage is really great.
All right. Well, yeah, that's very kind of inspiring to kind of hear. And I guess we're kind of getting to the kind of end of the interview. And I guess, do you kind of have any kind of final comments that you'd like to make, Callum?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say was that it's not just been University of Melbourne this week. Both Swinburne and RMIT have gone on strike this very week for different lengths. And Monash and RMIT, I believe, have recently voted for more protected action. So it is really inspiring that they keep growing. And I would just encourage your listeners, if they have deep pockets or whatever, we are trying to, obviously we're not getting paid for our strike week. We're trying to cover some of the expenses people have with the National Strike Defence Fund. And so, it's one of the ways that you can help keep the strike going, what happens in the future, both here and other campuses, is to aid that strike fund and looking after workers who are pushing back against their management. And otherwise, if you're interested in our campaign, whether in donating or just reading up on it, it's all on unimelbebanow.com.
Well, thank you very much, Callum. And yes, all the solidarity with the rest of your strike. From our understanding, I just saw it sort of on face social media by one NTU member at Melbourne Uni. I think the plan is that you're going to be kind of all coming together to kind of discuss the next steps kind of following this strike. And so, yeah, all the best with your continuing struggle against the management of University of Melbourne.
Yeah, thanks, Callum. Really great chatting to you, and solidarity to you and all the workers. Don't get outsmarted by the bosses, and we hope you win all your demands.
Thank you both so very much.